eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 16, a miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In looking at Psalm 16, and we'll keep our comments pretty brief today, even though we're going to start to get to Psalms that are a little bit longer, really you can kind of divide the text into two different parts, and if you sort of ask the basic questions that you see whenever studying Scripture of what does this text teach us about God and what does it teach us about man, we would begin really in this one with an appeal from the perspective of man and an understanding of some of the blessings of what it means of being faithful to God and how that affects us as human beings. And then in verse 6, I sort of see a transition that takes place to then praising God and addressing him for the way that he is faithful to us. And so you begin really, and as I focus on this, the verse that stood out to me was verse 6, that the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. That there's this sense in which we have in God really rich blessings that exceed even beyond the spiritual ones that we so often focus on within our understanding in the gospel of Jesus. But we want to talk about this from the psalm. So certainly it opens with this appeal, but really it's more of a statement of trust that preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. And so we have our security first and foremost within God. And then in verse 2 it says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. And so the welfare and our definition of good itself come from God. And it's good to recognize that, because even as I was reading and reflecting on this psalm, I thought of the show that was more recent that was supposed to be about the afterlife. And if you remember, it's called The Good Place. And part of why they chose that title was to be as vague as possible with the idea of an afterlife encompassing, you know, a variety of different religions. And so, you know, The Good Place is this vague where good people go. And of course, there's a lot more to that show. And a lot of humor and things that go with that. But good, obviously, is tied in with God himself and understanding what that is. And so our welfare, our sense of goodness is tied to that as well. Verse 3, then we see ultimately the associates of the person who trusts in God is the saints in the land. They are the excellent ones, the ones in whom is my delight. And then ultimately the way that you define yourself in worship is with those, the saints who are in the land, and not those, in verse 4, who run after other gods and the sorrows that multiply for them, taking the offerings of blood that they take, taking the names of the other gods on their lips. And so we draw ourselves in the company that we keep to those who worship God, and we are naturally drawn to the saints who worship God. And then indeed, finally, the ambitions that we have in the sense that the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The idea of understanding a lot or place in life or pursuits, that even God himself is the ultimate one that we pursue, in understanding this, in understanding what is good and what our blessings are and what we are to be about in this world. Of course, it moves again in verse 7 to praising God and focusing first and foremost on his guidance that he gives. Verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. You see this throughout the Psalms, the idea that even in sleep and rest, God not only protects, but he guides, comforts, and moves in the psalmist's life. Then in verse 8, we see the stability that comes by being of the Lord's people, that if the Lord is always before me and he is at our right hand, and we shall not be shaken. And so stability comes from that, and gladness and joy then comes. In verse 9, my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure. And so again, this joy is a very earthly, physical joy that comes about. And verse 10 then ultimately ends with this idea of resurrection, and verse 11 then with really what we can see in not just physical, temporal bliss, but eternal bliss. First, in verse 10, we see that you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Now we understand that this passage is fulfilled and is a messianic prophecy and is seen by both Peter, the apostles Peter and Paul in the New Testament as fulfillment of Jesus Christ. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 24 in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, it said, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible, for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And then, of course, Peter goes on to say that David was died and buried, and his tomb still existed that day, but he was speaking of the one who he saw and the Messiah who was coming in Jesus Christ, and he is the one who is exalted beyond death. And ultimately then, in that presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, is an eternal joy that we have being reunited with God. It's worth noting, though, again, that many of these blessings are things that we do see here and now, and to not ignore that message as well. So even as we orient and direct our lives to God, as we see in the first six verses, and placing our portion with him, our inheritance, the idea of good itself, in dwelling with his people, his saints, that all these things are things that draw us ultimately to physical realities as well. And so I like how John Goldengay, in his commentary, closes out his section on the theological implications of this psalm. And it says this, Psalm 16 knows that Yahweh is the God of this life, and not just of the future life, nor just of religious life, and provides for this life in abundance. It is one of the reasons why people should stay faithful to Yahweh. The psalm thus refuses us the right to confine God to the realm of Christology, eschatology, or religious experience, and dissociate questions of our relationship with God from questions about land and food. Psalm 16 belongs not just to Christ or to the future or to the religious life, but also to the material life now. The psalm does not treasure a relationship with God more than the gifts of life, but it assumes that one is key to the other. Reminds us, of course, of in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples after the rich young ruler walks away. And of course, if you're familiar with the story there, they're amazed that it would be difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus tells them, when he says, truly I say to you, in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. It's good for us to remember that Jesus in his words there says, now. that in becoming a part of the kingdom of God and his people, we experience rich and exceedingly abundant blessing of being a part of his people. We sometimes get used to this, and in our critical day and age, we take for granted many of the blessings that we see. But I have so often seen brothers and sisters in Christ care for one another in deep and meaningful and abundant ways. And so let's remember that as we read this text, that we first and foremost formulate our lives around God and then glorify him and praise him for all he does. Again, I thank you so much for joining me for again this podcast. I'd ask that you continue to listen and join us. Certainly, if you can share this on any social media, I would appreciate that. And we'd love to just continue to just build this up and be able to share in the Psalms together. So I pray you have a blessed week, and may you prosper like the tree planted by streams of water. Thank you for listening. Find us online under The Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks his presence to. With joyful song.